Hey, River fans. Welcome to the River Talk Podcast.
What was that?
Zach Collier, Priscilla Macy, who's not here, out saving the world, doing Priscilla things, and me, Eric Weissel. Today, our big topic is, well, we've got a couple. We're going to talk about mini boating, and is it the new supping? Or is supping still supping? And probably a few other things. But before we get to that, we always like to start with news of the week. So, Zach, what do you have?
Well, it's raining, and so boating in the Pacific Northwest is full on, which is amazing. It's been really good. In the bad news category, there was a fatality yesterday on Canyon Creek. I'm not sure if you heard about that.
I didn't hear about that.
A kayak, I think it was high water, and a kayaker died. That's all the information I have. So I really,
any idea where? Kind
of, what was that?
Any idea where on Canyon?
No. So it's kind of a grim beginning of the winter season boating news, and just a good reminder out there to be safe.
Man, that's super sad.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. But yeah, boating season seems like it's here. Did I see some video of you guys out cat boating? Was that the Upper Wind?
We did the Upper Wind Saturday and the West Fork Sunday. And taking a raft down the West Fork is a project. So anybody out there doing it, I would maybe recommend against it, unless you like pain.
So if Zach is telling you that something is too hard to get a boat down, like because it's small volume or something like that,
you should take it log
seriously because Zach's super into that kind of stuff.
I am. I mean, I didn't mind it that much, but it, you know, we were out there with a bunch of kayakers on. I mean, it's so crazy because everybody's boating now. I mean, put-ins and takeouts are the busiest I've ever seen them. You know, the wind on Saturday was jam-packed. Couldn't find a place to park. Even the West Fork was crazy Sunday. And we were portaging a raft around a log jam. And one of our ropes got loose. So we were like had a little bit of a mess to deal with while like 10 kayakers were walking by portaging. It was annoying. But that first log jam on the West Fork is tough to portage. And then there's a fish ladder you got to portage, and then takeout is just heinous. So, but yeah, boating's here.
I wonder why it's so slamming out there. Is it just everybody's really excited, do you think? First weekend, like first big weekend, or
what's... I was thinking about this a lot. I think that more people are kayaking. I think it's a growing sport. Yeah, or it could be that nobody's traveling. Everybody's like, I'm going to Mexico for the winter. I'm off to Ecuador. You know, I think everybody's just here. That could be it. But there's a lot of new people that I've never met or seen.
That's
it
cool.
Just seems like the sport's growing to me. And I know a lot of people think it's not, but it really seems to me like there's more people out there boating than ever.
Be fun to get somebody from, you know, one of the big companies at Jackson or somebody who's done some market research on that to sort of see what those numbers look like industry-wide.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they know. They probably know how many boats sell, but I feel like people are also keeping boats longer. I mean, there hasn't been any new breakthrough kayak design. So, you know, your choice is right. If you want a creek boat, you know, it's either get an OG or a Nirvana or some Zed thing.
You know, 9R. 9R is also pretty
9R.
Popular.
Yeah, 9R. But those boats have all kind of been around for a while. There's not like a need to buy anything new.
Yeah. Did you see Zed's coming out with a new slicey boat?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty excited. Debating whether I'm going to put my deposit down on that puppy.
Man, I have an Antix. It's the best boat I've ever paddled. I don't even know why they made an Antix 2, because the Antix 1 is so good. I'd be shocked if it was better than the Antix. It's just so good.
I've been going back and forth. The Antix also is super appealing, but I just know I love my Zet. So
yeah, the plastic is amazing. Yeah,
plastic's, I mean, if you want amazing, it's comfortable. Like, just there's a lot I like about it. So
if you want your boat to last a long time, the Zet's the way to go. If you want people to kind of look down on you, maybe the Jackson. I posted a photo on Instagram. Last spring, and I said, this is my friend Howard looking steezy, looking steezy, and somebody commented, you can't be steezy in a Jackson. And so that's kind of like our, or no, you know, I said, this is my friend Howard laying treats. And he goes, you can't lay treats into Jackson. So we always joke around about that, that, you know, only the non-Jackson paddlers can lay treats. So you can lay treats in a Zet for sure.
Nobody likes the big player in the game, you know, just how it is.
Yeah. Yep. But that Antics is solid. That's my favorite boat.
Cool. Yeah. I need to get something like that. You know, COVID has been the number one topic thing we've talked about basically for, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months. Feels like eternity. I don't even remember pre-COVID life really. When we could, like, go outside and gather with people. I'm to the point now where if I see a TV show and, like, people walk into a restaurant or, like, gather with friends, it, like, trips me out. Like, oh, yeah, remember when we could do that? But anyway, I digress.
I watched Moneyball last night, and it was just weird to me that they were playing baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those kinds of things. But a question for you. You know, we sort of had ups and downs in COVID. There's different periods where it seemed like risk levels were higher and lower and you could do different things. It feels like we're back in a very high risk time. I mean, the way that Oregon is shutting down and everything else, cases are going up. Like, it feels like the risk levels are changing. Is that impacting how you're voting?
It should. I can tell you when we started boating last spring, we were very, very careful. You know, everybody was very careful, cognizant. Right now, COVID's way worse than that. And I don't think there's that same comfort level. When I do shuttle, I wear a mask. I have, you know, the people I boat with, we wear masks in the car. Yeah. And we bring enough cars so we're not shoving the cars full. You know, I'm having people I boat with, I'm like, hey, don't just show up with, if there's three of you, bring two cars. We're not going to shove six people in my truck. But I picked up a friend the other day. He didn't have a mask. I mean, I just like, whatever, that sucks. But I think we should be really careful, like back to March, but I think there's fatigue out there for sure.
For sure.
And your average kayaker is not watching the news, so they're not super in touch with what's happening. I shouldn't say that. That's kind of a stereotype. Your average kayaker is not watching the news. Would that be a stereotype?
It would be a stereotype for sure. But I'm not sure if it's true. I don't know if I would agree with it or not.
Okay.
I mean, that may be true. I have no idea. I feel like, I have no idea.
But COVID's bad. It's bad and it's getting worse. And when we're up boating, we need to be careful, which transportation is the biggest issue. So to me, it's just like, bring more cars than you're used to. Everybody wear a mask. I forgot my mask on the river the other day. So I stick my head out the window for the whole shuttle ride.
Yeah, we were talking about going fishing this weekend with a couple of us, you know, and being in the drift boat, which I'm not like being in the boat, you know, outside the wind blow, like that doesn't really faze me too much. But the piece is like, how I sat there and like genuinely stopped, like, how are we gonna do the shuttle?
Mm-hmm.
And that's after a summer of doing shuttles, but things just feel way different right now. I'm certainly gonna try and go back to being really intentional about it, that's for sure.
Yep. It's more cars and having a system for your mask. That's where I messed up on Sunday. Like, you need to have the same way you pack your PFD, your helmet, your mask goes in a dry bag with you or something. You have to have a plan for your mask. So when you get a ride, you can wear a mask in the car.
Yeah. I think I've just got three inside my like lap bag, you know, that I take when I boat, and I just keep three of them in there. So I always have it for the shuttle. That's what I've started doing.
I mean, I stuck my head out the window for a 15-mile shuttle in the rain. It sucked.
That sucks. So
it was my penance. I was like, I made the mistake. I'm going to pay the price by sticking my head out the window and getting rained on.
Yep. Well, any other news of the week, Zach?
Well, I feel like I want to mention our friends at SOTAR. We've done a few shows. We've had to mention them. They've happily sponsored the show, and SOTAR stands for state-of-the-art rafts. They make urethane rafts in Southern Oregon. They're historically known for making the best boats. And so they do custom. They're all about like doing what you want. So if you want a custom design or you want a particular color or D-rings a certain color, they're all about custom. And SOTAR, thank you for sponsoring our show.
Yeah, they're perfectly happy to let you make a boat that ends up not being really great because you don't know anything about building boats. But if you tell them the dimensions you want, they'll do it for you anyway.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
from the inside, I'm pretty sure they know.
It's not their fault when you give them a bad idea. It's your fault. Like, you should. I mean, that's what I don't get about custom. You think by 2020, we figured out the designs. It's not rocket science.
I think they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they'll still let you screw it up.
Yeah. So you're like, hey, I want this size tube or this width or whatever. They're like, cool. Yeah, you're paying the money. Do it for sure. I think they're most excited about custom colors and D-rings and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's really nice to be able to do that, to get your D-rings exactly where you want them, how mm-hmm. many you want, what sizes. Like, just D-rings alone is awesome. And chafe and all that kind of stuff too. Like, depending on what you're doing with your boat, some of that stuff is really nice.
Yep. And if you want to screw up your colors, oh, it's on you. If you want to do some crazy design, like, again, everybody should just be themselves.
There's some super ugly boats that have come out of there for sure.
Yeah, there's a few I can think of, and I'm always say politely, that's a creative.
Yeah, it's good. Uh-huh.
Yeah, good thinking.
So yeah, Sotar, best boats out there. No matter what you do to them, still a good boat underneath, despite the things that you tell them to do to it.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yeah. I think what you're trying to say is they do custom boats. It's really cool that they do, but maybe they should say no to some people. You know, maybe some people give them ideas and they should say, you might want to rethink that.
Or people, like, I mean, I could look at myself in this. I'm not going to, but there is probably a place for some self-reflection who are not, I don't know, engineers or designers or anything like that. Should probably at some point pause and recognize that maybe they don't know as much as the engineer or the designer, you know, who does this for a living.
Yeah.
But anyway, great. Sotar's good.
Bye. I made that mistake, Eric. I got a 16-foot big tube capo from Sotar like 8 years ago and told them I wanted no baffles. I wanted just one valve to fill up the whole 16-foot boat. And a couple years later, regret just to save weight for some reason. Because you don't have to have one less valve, one less baffle. And I regretted that because it's such a big boat. But they said yes to it.
Yeah. I feel like there's a couple other issues we can come back to on that design choice. But that said, I have done a bunch of custom things at Sotar and I really love. So it is fun to be able to kind of do your own thing because I've come up with some creations that I really, really enjoyed doing that. Anyway, on to our, and this kind of plays into this next one, actually. Should we go to our main topic for the day?
Yeah.
Which is sort of twofold. One, I have seen a growing community of what they like to call themselves, or at least people I know who are in it, mini boaters. So these are people who are taking, I would say, like 9.5 to probably 10.5 foot boats, rafts. So think of the Tributary 9.5 up to like the Air Cub to Sotar makes a couple little 10-foot boats. There's a bunch of these out there. And puts little frames on them and rows them down the river. So the mini boating rowing community seems to be a growing group. So one, I want to talk about that. And two, the thing I kind of said was, is this supping? Is this the new supping? Because supping was like all the rage for a while. And then it seems like it's less the rage now, with the exception of a few folks out there. You know, is this a fad? Is this something that just is always going to be a little fringy? Or is this a new up and coming thing that everybody's going to be doing in a couple of years? Kind of like pack boating was 10 years ago.
Pack rafting?
Pack rafting.
Pretty big still, actually, I think.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's huge now, but like back 10 years ago, it was like this little fringe thing, and now it's this big deal. Is mini boating the same thing now that pack rafting was 10 years ago? And on a trajectory to where it's going to be this mainstream activity in a decade.
Is mini boating the official term?
I don't know. It's what I heard myself. I think it was mini boating. Something like that. I've heard themselves. call themselves this.
I'm a mini boater. So I have a lot of thoughts about this. First of all, let's talk about supping. I feel like supping's dying. Whitewater supping. People still do it. And I used to be way into it. And I asked myself, why did I stop doing it? And I don't have a good answer for you. I thought about this when you mentioned this topic. that maybe it seems like everybody I know who subs is sponsored and I have to pay full price. And so I feel like when most of the people who do a thing are sponsored, it's like kind of annoying to the rest of us, you know, and especially when you're like out boating with them and they have like brand new everything and they're like, oh, check out what such so-and-so sent me. And you're like, cool, I had to buy that. And it takes away, I think it might have taken away from me some of the, I don't know, some of the excitement for it. That's the only thing I can think of. But yeah, I mean, we used to see it all the time out here and it's just pretty much dead right now.
I still have fun when I do it, but I don't do it very often.
I love it when I do it.
I'm not out there trying. For a while, I felt like I was, this is a thing I wanted to get to where mm-hmm. I was competent at. And those days I've just kind of, now it's like, if I get to go out and do it, that's great. If I don't, that's fine too. But I don't really care if I'm good at it.
Every time I go, I have tons of fun. And I ask myself, man, why don't I do this more? And then I go like a year later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the vibe is just gone. That's my take. Like I used to have a big crew that always wanted to go. And now if I went supping, I'd be the only one. And you want to have a supping friend. You don't want to just be the only supper. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's to be like, talk back and forth. Like, oh, I did that cool thing. And like, yeah, you did that cool thing. You know, you want to, there's that camaraderie about, you know, doing this off, like kind of weird sport.
Well, you're always sort of slightly hoping on the inside they fall off. So then
like, yeah, there's a little competition to it for sure. It's definitely a competitive sport. So I don't know. I think that supping's dying. I don't think those same people are mini boating.
No, I don't think the same people are. I think mini boating to me is just sort of another new fringe kind of thing that's coming up that I've just seen more and more of. Here's these kind of tiny rafts.
Now you mentioned rowing them. Yeah. I bet you way more people are to them than row or are one or to them than row them.
Well, I think that's right because they're being advertised that way. Like if you look in the Air mm-hmm. catalog for their 9.5 tributary and the Cub, they say specifically in the advertisements, a paddle raft only craft or a paddle only craft.
Do not like, row.
They basically like lay out right there that this boat is absolutely in no way whatsoever intended to be rowed. And yet, you know, there's a crew of kind of people here in Idaho that are doing like later season South Fork of salmon trips or like lower water full South Fork of the Payette trips or lower water Selway trips. And it's like this posse of people that are all mini boaters, you know, running their little 10 footers down these lower volume technical, you mm-hmm. know, kind of rivers. And we have a 10 footer at OTT we've had for a decade or something. We've got a little frame for it. And it's a ton of fun. Like, mm-hmm. I think I'm buying another one. I want to get one for my, one for me to play with and two for my 11-year-old to start learning to row on. But
that's a good idea.
I mean, I'm really excited for it.
What the one thing that's nice about them is you don't have to have a huge truck or trailer.
Yeah.
You know, they pack small. It's kind of like being a kayaker. I mean, one thing that's, you know, I've been rafting all weekend, you know, We've had two oar boats. We have to pack all this gear. It takes two of us to lift it, sometimes more. It's an hour of prep in the morning. We drive there with a trailer, unload everything, come home, put everything away. You know, it's a little bit of work. A little mini boat, if you're R1ing it, for example, it's pretty quick to pump up and you just go. And you can carry the portages really easy. It's almost like a kayak. So yeah. I think it's my take on it. As I think through this a little bit, is I think that we've talked about this before. We all do what we think is cool, right? On the cool factor. That's why there's not many creature crafters because they're not cool, right? If they were cool, there might be more of us, right? And I think supping, same thing. Is like it was cool for a while, and then it just stopped being cool. Like maybe it was never cool, but for a while it was like cutting edge. And it was really, and if you could stand up in a class 3, it was like really a big feat. Now people have supped waterfalls. It's like, okay. Like if I can stand up in a class 4, it's a major accomplishment for me, but you know, not that big of an accomplishment in the big scheme of things. I think that, like we've talked about before, duckies, you know, the perception is that they're not cool. A mini boat is sort of like a ducky that's kind of cool. Like if you are one, and if you are wanting, I think it's been branded in a way that's like a little bit more cool. Because in my mind, I'd rather ducky than R1 a 10-foot boat, right? But for cool factor.
Oh, all day long. I would much rather IKA than R1.
But there's people R1-ing the truss pretty regularly now.
That's wild.
You know, yeah, it's you know, it's a technique you get really good at. So I think part of the draw is that it is kind of perceived as being pretty cool. And it is. I'm impressed by it, actually. And it's something you can do if you don't want a hard shell, like if you're not like a hard shell person, without like you don't have to have another person with you necessarily. You can R1 or R2, so you don't have to have a friend, or you can have a friend, and it's just easy to transport.
Yeah, mini boating paddling to me seems like the obvious progression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those reasons you're talking about, like all these rivers that historically weren't really raftable. But now you're in a 10-foot raft that's, you know, a couple feet wide. Like, you can go raft a lot of things that historically wouldn't have been realistic. Yeah. Carrying them into things that wouldn't have been realistic.
Yep.
You know, with even a 12-foot boat, you know, two people carrying that very far, like, that gets unrealistic pretty fast. Whereas these, the portages, everything, especially if you're paddling them and not, you know, putting a frame in them, that I think is going to open a ton of doors for, you know, inflatable boats.
You know, I mentioned earlier, the West Fork was kind of a pain because we had a cat boat at oars, you know, just portaging was a pain. A mini boat wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So I would be way more willing to do a West Fork. Yep.
You know, like that, all those kinds of rivers are going to be way more open. There's all sorts of low volume stuff that was more or less off the table just because, hell, the boat wouldn't fit in the eddies that are on it. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, you know, even you take some of those bigger boats down, some of those lower volume things, you're sort of bouncing between banks. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want to bash on anybody's accomplishments. There's some cool shit people have done in bigger, in like 14 boats on low volume rivers.
Uh-huh.
But there is a sense on some of that where it's a lot of bouncing between stuff or bouncing through things because the boat's too big to really like nail a line, you know, that's only so wide. Whereas these mini boats, I think, open up a lot of opportunity for actually like cleaning things in ways that it would be really challenging or impossible in a larger boat.
Yeah, I want one too. I'm 100% with what you just said. I totally agree. I just have too many boats. You know, when am I going to take it out? Am I going to take a hard shell or a ducky or a sup or my? I just feel like it's just more rubber that I won't use. But I'm actually interested in challenging myself to R1-ing looks hard and interesting to me. I want one. My other debate is which one would you get? The high side. I think that's the big thing. The high side mini max or the air cub or the RMR. Rocky Mountain has a boat that's less expensive.
Well, and Tributary has one that's less expensive. Like there's a Tributary that's right there with the RMR.
Is the Tributary the same design as the cub?
No, it's a slightly different shape.
Okay.
It's more like Sotar's got a little 10-foot ST.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's more of the shape of that.
Okay.
Like it's less, it doesn't have diminishing tubes. It's square. It's a little bit more square, you know, with a lot of rake at the end kind of a thing. Mm. That's what it looks like.
But that's the question. I think the high side, I think, invented this category. Although I know Sotar had those 10-footers before, I think high side's design is better than the Sotar, although they're a sponsor. I think they're wonderful people. I'm not a big fan of their design. Am I allowed to say
design? That design's old. Like I said, I've had that boat for 12, 13 years. You know, it's just basically they just took their ST and miniaturized it.
Yeah.
They didn't really design a boat around being 10 feet long.
Yeah, so I like the high side. I think I like the idea of Hypalon because it rolls up super small. You can carry it in, carry it out super easy. But that airboat looks pretty cool too.
The airboat looks pretty cool. And you know, the reviews on it and stuff, everybody seems to be kind of loving it. So,
yeah.
But then there's, you know, the price on like the Tributary or the RMR. especially if it's like your third boat or something like that. there's some appeal on that front as well. So I think it's an exciting category. I think it's going to open doors for a lot of, wrath descents on things that we don't see very often, in the long run could be kind of fun. So I'm interested in rowing it. Like I want a paddling. Okay. That sounds fun too, but I'm definitely putting a little frame in it and give me some oars. Pretty good time. I took one down the Rogue, the lower Rogue. Mm-hmm. And I was running lines and rapids that I'd never even thought about before outside of an IK, but I was able to go run them in this. Just opposite sides of the river, other things you could never take a raft down, but this was
which one did you run?
The Sotar.
Okay. My other question is, what oars? I mean, I think that because this is an extreme 8-foot oars. Okay.
Yeah. So that's actually what's spawning me to buy one is, I found a screaming deal on a set of old Smoker 8-foot oars, used Smoker 8-foot oars that some guy was basically giving away. So I went and bought them. So now I've got this set of 8-foot oars that I don't have anything to do with. Like I've got no use for them. So I've got to buy a raft to use my 8-foot
oars. I guess that's the advantage of owning a rafting company is this is buying rafts is sort of what you do.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I appreciate how ridiculous that sounds, mm-hmm. but, we rent the heck out of our 10-foot raft. So
yeah,
any 10-foot raft we sell or that we have, we'll rent.
I mean, you guys could get into some massive, that could be on the Rogue, a massive growing business is having little mini rafts for people to row.
Yeah.
They're easy to learn on. You can't get in that much trouble.
Well, and that's part of why I'm really excited about it is for my 11-year-old, holding oars, just the weight of them wears mm-hmm. out, his tiny little arms. Or my 7-year-old daughter who was trying to row my drift boat, but even with a light set of oars, it just wears her out. And I don't want to get her counterbalanced oars because I hate counterbalanced oars. So
good for you.
That brings up a whole other set of problems.
Man.
But this is a good way to potentially solve that for smaller people learning to row.
Eric, I just lost you. Eric, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Sorry. So where'd you get the frame?
I haven't gotten one yet. Well, I haven't gotten a new one. We got one. Somebody in Grants Pass had one that we have, that we bought mm-hmm. for, I think Corey, and then Corey, my manager in Oregon, who used to work at Sotar, he had one made for his little 10-footer.
Okay.
And Johnny at Rogue Gearworks, has made a couple of them, little tiny ones. So real simple. I mean, I think he's made ones with little dry boxes even. You stick a little cooler in it if you want, that kind of thing. Like you can really go all out. We used it for a gear boat on the Oahe, a really low water trip one time.
That's cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what people are doing with little boats. What do you call it? Mini boats? I think they need a category name. Here's the deal. We need to be educated. So listeners out there, if you know what people that run small boats are named, if you want to put a comment on our Facebook page or on the website on this post, just comment at the bottom so that we know what to call them. Because I think mini boating doesn't sound that cool. I think they need a cooler sounding name.
What are your options here? micro boaters?
I think it's just R2. I don't think you give it a nomenclature. You just say, hey, I'm going to go R2 my little boat. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you can R2 a 14-foot boat. There's a big difference between R2 and a 14-foot boat and a 9.5-foot boat.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask around. I have a few friends that do it. I'll see what they want to be called, and I'll try to report back.
I will say we used our 10-footer one time it was the first King of the Rogue race. Mm-hmm. We used our 10-footer with four of us in it. We were really fast carrying the boat across the rocks. We were slow. In the straits, we were sitting so low and pushing so much water. It was wildly slow, but super fun, really nimble. It's a good time. Tiny boats, mini boats, micro boats. Good times.
boats. I'd love to see an R1 race. That has got
to
be.
R1ing in general to me is wildly impressive. So I'm not sure that it's all that cool, but it is wildly impressive from a skill standpoint for people who do it good. There's people who, again, sort of bounce down between the banks. That's less impressive. But when you see somebody who's really good at it, it is wildly impressive.
Yeah, I've tried it on the Big 13 and just it was really hard to do anything. I just felt like I was fodder. Yeah. That's why I really want to get a mini boat because I want to be able to try it more. Like I think it's a skill set I want to work on. So for me, it'd be fun to do on like class 3-4 just to like get better at by myself on one side using a paddle.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's sort of it's another one of those things that you can do as you get sort of in. I'm not going to say older, but as we get older and, you know, like getting our kicks running super high, hard whitewater is a little less on the table. It's fun to be able to go and run more medium whitewater, but learn a new skill or take on a new challenge.
Yeah. Like work on a new skill set. And so for me, racing them is interesting because you can't just paddle downstream. Like the flats are
brutal.
There's
an athleticism. We always used to make like kind of, sorry, Tim, but we always used to kind of like everybody made fun of the Oregon rafting team folks a little bit just because they kicked everybody's ass in part because they were good boaters, but honestly, in more part because they were like super fit because they went out and paddled across lakes and flat water and they would smoke you in the flats as much as in the whitewater.
Yeah.
And it feels like R1 races, even in the flats, you could be a super athlete, but if you don't have the skill set to keep the boat going straight, you're not going to win.
And you have to find that exact line of current.
Well,
it's all about like
wind.
There's a huge. That would be a good goal for me to R1 the upper wind, just to survive R1ing it. I need to work up to that. But even the hood, or
well,
even
that could
like
be a race this year, that could be a new cat. Well, if they do it,
the middle white salmon, I think is a good challenge for it. Because it's not super threatening and there's flats. So if anybody out there in the gorge wants to, I think we need to have more racing, whether it's official or unofficial. You know, it surprises me that the rafting manufacturers aren't really getting involved with the race series because the more people racing, the more it means more boats they sell. Right? If they organized an R2 and R1 race series around the West, way more people would be buying boats. You know, I, and if there was an R1 race series and it was organized, I would go. I'm probably not going to buy one of these boats. I want to, but if I had like events to go to where I could race it, I'd be into it. I'd go buy one and I'd train.
Well, there you go. This may not be the year, you know, with the COVID and all the things, but
Air, that's true.
You guys out there, we know you're listening, Air. It's a chance. You want to sell the Cub? You want to sell these mini boats? Be able to say world champion R1 race boat, like you guys got to put on the series, host the mini boat series.
Going back to the Oregon rafting team, they're sort of like Jackson Kayak. They're kind of the biggest. They always kind of beat you up. And so it's fun to hate on them. You know, any little thing they do, you want to pick on them, especially when they beat you in a race. You know, you want to.
Which they pretty much most of the time always did.
Yeah, Tim's hard to beat.
It's true.
Some of our other friends who are still doing it are beatable, but Tim has the fitness and the skill, you know, in terms of the running the water and the racing. He's got the whole trifecta. He was hard to beat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. And the passion.
Yeah. I've followed him many times in second place, trying so hard to catch up with him, watching him just get further and further ahead. And I know he's happy to, like, looking back, gaining on me just to, like, rub a little dirt into it. So.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
Well, I think we did justice to this topic. Should we wrap this
up? Micro boaters. I want to remind everybody out there, if you're a mini micro tiny boater, tell us what you're called. Give us what your name is. Let us know what to call you.
Yep. And are people the... Are R1ing mini boaters different than rowing mini boaters? Right? Is there a different? Are they a different category? Or are they just all mini boaters?
I mean, I think that they're all mini motors ultimately. It's sort of like, although I guess if you think about like a K1 versus, you know, a standard kayaker, like they would consider themselves different. Even though they're both in a kayak. So we may be a little in the weeds. There needs to be more than 10 people doing this sport before we can really get into those kinds of
There's a, I mean, by number, oh man, it's growing fast. I know.
is.
I think it's growing fast. And then there's S, there's shreddering. There's the whole other, you know, that's the original mini boat. You're not a fan?
I just don't get it. It just feels like a, yeah.
I think for certain types of rivers, it's really nice. So I think like something like the wind at low water, no. The wind at high water, yes. Like when you're punching through waves and holes, the shredder's nice. When there's lots of rocks, it's easy to get caught up on things. So I'm ambivalent. They're cool. I've used them a few times. They, you know, but it's the same category. It's like the original mini boat. People have been
We'll
R2ing
see
and
which
R1ing
one's, you
those.
know, a bigger deal in 5 years.
Well, here's the other question, and then we'll wrap this up. Can you race a shredder in an R2 race?
I would think it'd have to be its own category. Like a cat boat, you're not gonna, you know, a cat boat versus a round raft is gonna be a different category. If you know, even if you're rowing them both, like they're not gonna be in the same, they shouldn't be same category.
They're not on the Clackamas, but let's say there's an art, you know, in the at the wind, they're not going to make a million categories. It's like kayak, R2, R4, or whatever. They're not going to make a shredder category. I mean, it's just too many categories, and there's not that many shredders. But if a shredder shows up for the R2 race, do you let them in?
My inclination would be that, you know, you can let them in, but if they win, there's always going to be an asterisk next to their name. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they
Well,
won, but
there's two of them in a boat
did you
that
ever tr did you truly win?
I mean that what that says to me is maybe the mini boaters should get shredders if they want to win. This is how the rafting company is going to
Or there
sell
should
more
just be a mini
boats.
boat racing category.
Yeah, but this is how the rafting companies can sell more boats. They need to have races with lots of categories.
Well,
Like the Clackamas Festival has got to sell tons of boats because there's like 12 different categories. You know, people
yeah.
show up and they're like, next year I want to win this race. And they might go buy a boat for that race.
I'm pretty sure that's why they sell, like, where they sell 90% of those tubes that they make, all the, you know, the new river
The
tubes
inner
that are like all
tubes?
the rage for
Yeah.
like $300.
Yeah.
It's all the
Yeah,
Clackamas
inner.
tube race.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, that's a good place to do it. I mean, is tubing dead like SUP is dead?
Was tubing ever alive?
Yeah, it was.
Like,
It was
as
a
an
thing.
actual thing? I just
I
saw a
think
video
it.
come up the other day of buggering or bugging or something like that.
Oh,
It's sort of like
yeah.
a float tube with fins, and it's just two dudes
Yeah.
swimming down the river in wets in like O'Neill
Yeah.
wetsuits. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it didn't look fun. It looked kind of fun, but it looked like super sketchball as far as like
Yeah.
having no control where you're going.
We
Kind
better
of like a
finish this.
tube.
We better wrap this one up before we make fun of too many more people. I
But
think
wait, I
before,
really want to go back. Was river tubing actually a thing? Like,
yeah, I think there was like a heyday of river tubing sometime in the 2000s.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, but I don't, we're not talking like, you know, floating down the meandering river drinking beer. Like, that's definitely still
No,
a thing.
I mean like running hard rapids. I mean my friend Travis and Adam, they did a lot of big stuff in tubes. They did. I mean, Travis did Cherry
Like,
Creek in a
tubing Mule
tube.
Creek is fun, but that's different.
No, he did
Oh, I
Cherry
remember that.
Creek. He
Yeah.
did parts of South Silver.
That's right.
You know, people and more people
It
because of that
was
people
legit.
saw what was possible. They ran Traverse Creek Falls in California. More people started to do it and try new things out, and it was pretty fun. Like actually, now that I mention it, I kind of want to go tube the middle or the lower hood. It'd be fun to
I'm pretty
tube
sure
around here.
Priscilla tubed Spirit Falls, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she went off Spirit in a tube. I'm pretty sure she didn't land at the
Yeah,
bottom, still in the tube. But I mean, I could be wrong on all parts.
Tubing is like supping. You're going to probably swim a bunch. Right? But you're not going to... You don't have... Like, when you swim out of a tube or a sup, you don't have to chase down your kayak, you know, and get the shore and empty it out. You just jump back on.
Right.
So Travis, you know, he always said, as long as you don't let go of your tube, you're good. So if you swim but still have your arm around it, you still have your flotation. It's when you get separated from your tube that's bad news.
Yeah. There was a guide who used to, not for our company, but a guy I know that used to tube Rainy Falls on the Rogue every trip, commercial trip.
Hope that wasn't Travis.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's an impressive feat too.
Interesting. Well, I don't think it's back. But honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing some more videos of it. So if you're out there looking for YouTube hits, like some rad tubing, I'd watch it.
I think the problem is there's nowhere to mount a GoPro on an inner tube. Or do you just do a head cam?
You head cam it. Yeah.
All right. I might be that person. I don't know. It'd be pretty funny to show up and put in for the lower head.
Has anybody done the trust in the tube, Zach? I feel like you could be the guy.
I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm good. No, I don't need to do that. No, I'm good. I'm not doing anything on the truss in a tube. Maybe yeah, no, I'm good. No, maybe top drop. I'd probably do top drop like at the rapid just before the middle, but yeah, that sounds terrible. But the middle would be fun and the lower hood and things like that. It's fun. It's fun to change things up. Although I'm in a mood personally into kayaking again right now. So I'm on kind of a kayaking kick again. Oh
yeah. Yeah. That's been this year for me. All right. Well, maybe post COVID we'll get together and do some hardcore tubing.
It's good
to tube, I guess.
No, you can do it during COVID. It's cause it's, you know, it's everybody in their own tube. It's as long as you have the shuttle set, you're good.
Well, I'd have to come out to Hood River. So you know, that'd be a travel. I'm boating near home.
Yeah. Near home. Yeah, me too. Me too. But, me too.
Cool. Well, do you have gear of the week?
I sure do. My gear of the week is our Mustang Survival dry suits. They're a company based in Vancouver, Washington. And it's like the Cocotat of Canada. They do a lot of like high-end stuff. And I've been using it for 6 months and it's bomber. It has a lot of nice features on it. So I don't know if the one that I have, their normal dry suit doesn't have a normal neck gasket. It has this like zip closure one or like you pull a tab. You have to get them to put a normal neck gasket on it. But I know they're coming out with some cool paddling stuff soon. So I highly recommend Mustang Survival. And it looks like I just lost Eric, so I'm going to close the show up. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you have questions, comments, send them to questions@rivertalkpodcast.com. Oh, Eric's back. I was just closing the show. Do you want to do your gear of the week?
My backcountry internet is super good. So my brother's been using an Insta360 camera. So it's, you know, like a GoPro, like one of these. But it's kind of like GoPro's version of the whatever the one that does the 360 stuff, you know, and so it shoots at all angles and then you can edit it together with whatever angle you kind of want. And he's been using it a bunch for backcountry skiing and paragliding and a bunch of other really cool stuff. And it's priced a little better than the GoPro one. And the stuff he's been coming at, like, it's really cool. The stuff you can do with those cameras, you can get some really cool angles, neat shots, you know, makes really kind of entertaining videos. And I think... so something to look at. I've been really, really impressed with it.
Sweet. So well, just to close this one down. Yep. Thanks, Eric. And we, again, if you have any thoughts, send them to questions@rivertalkpodcast.com and we'll hopefully have another episode next week.
Sounds good. Good to see you, Zach.
Yep, you too, Eric. Looking fine. Gonna float me into a new state of mind. I'm on Chattahoochee on Rio.
Allegheny.